This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, conquering the city's seven summits to help keep Cincinnati beautiful. But first, a 2010 Investor Protection Trust elder fraud survey showed that more than 7 million older Americans, one in five over the age of 65, have been victimized by a financial swindle of some type. And here to look at some of the most common investment scams aimed at seniors, our Council on Aging of Southwestern Ohio Vice President of Communications, Lori Petrie, Director of Consumer Education with the Office of the Ohio Attorney General, Melissa Smith, and Krista Simeo, a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Cincinnati. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Melissa, Lori, and Chris, thanks for being here this afternoon.
Nice to be here, Mark.
Always good to be here, Mark.
Yes, indeed. Chris, you had a way of framing this whole topic that we were getting into a little bit earlier. So why don't you start us off on this?
Well, it's hard to believe that as we sit here, you know, middle of October, it's October 16th now, 2015, that there are some scams have been around so long, and yet they still people get caught up in their net. People get calls. You know, my own dad got, you know, he loved coins, just loved to collect coins, and next thing you know, he's getting calls from people out of state, and they're selling him gold coins, and one thing leads to another, and the hearing wasn't so great, and he's ending up with five figures on his credit card with gold coin charges. But, you know, they were very nice to look at. Mm-hmm. But we said, you know, Dad, do you really want this? He would become very defensive. And so you see all this, and that kind of got me thinking. That's what I was thinking when I saw this article from CNN. This is from October 7th. And the headline, it's a 12-page article, which is even more interesting because it just went and went and went. The October 7th headline, CNN, driven to death by phone scammers. And it was
so somebody ran into a situation that was so serious that it cost them their life.
Well, what happened was that and Melissa and Lori, I'm sure will chime in on this, that it was the Jamaican phone lottery scam where you've won the lottery, but in order to collect your prize, you have to send a little money. And then a little money became another one and another one. And they just, once they pull you in, they string you along. And it was a six-figure scam. And people become so embarrassed, depressed, financially strapped that they see no way out and they lose their battle with depression. Very sad. And I thought, you know, I had never heard of the Jamaican lottery scam before. Most people think of Jamaica and they say, hey, this is great, you know. But there are so many different ways that people can be scammed. And so I thought, well, we should probably do our public service for the day here and talk about this.
Yeah, and the thing that astounds me is the study, and granted it's been 5 years ago, but the fact that there were 7 million older Americans who had faced some kind of a financial scam. Lori, at the Council on Aging, I mean, do you get a lot of people who say this has happened to me and I can't believe this and what do I do?
And absolutely. And what we find is not just the garden variety Jamaican scam. That's just a version of a scam that says basically you have to pay money to claim your prize. If you ever hear something like that, you should know it's a scam.
Run, don't walk.
Yeah. But what happens with older adults is the scammers are very aware of the benefits they receive, and these will be seasonal. So I'll give you an example of one that we see at Council on Aging. There's a program, an energy assistance program. The scammers are aware of when that goes into effect, and so they will start calling seniors and saying, look, it's been a cold winter. I know your energy assistance is running out. We're going to put more money into your account. Please give me your Social Security number, and we'll deposit more money. Well, first of all, it doesn't work that way. The benefit is applied to the utility bill. But, you know, so people would then give away their information. Your Social Security number is like gold to them. Your Medicare number, gold. With that, a scammer can pretty much wend his or her way into your finances and your pocketbook quite easily.
And Lori, is that common that they build it around something that's totally legit, like energy assistance,
Absolutely.
Medicare?
Yes, we are now coming into Medicare open enrollment season, which will start here pretty soon and run to the end of the year. Prime season starting now for scammers who will be posing as Medicare, which does not call you. They'll do everything from try to sell you medical equipment to a Medicare plan. It's all a scam.
Melissa, as far as what you see at the Attorney General's office, what's the extent of scams against seniors in the state of Ohio?
You know, we see scammers taking advantage of everyone in the state of Ohio, but there is a particular target towards seniors. We see them as, you know, having a little bit of a different attitude towards things. Seniors, a lot of times, are a little bit more trusting. They come from a generation where a handshake actually meant something. And we don't always see that with members of the other population. So because they start a conversation with a position of trust as opposed to maybe fear or distrust, scammers are very aware of that, and they're very willing to take advantage of that. So we do see a lot of seniors being hit very hard by various scams.
Melissa, do you find in your role and in your work there at the Ohio Attorney General's office that the scammers are, do you keep track of how frequently senior citizens are scammed by strangers as opposed to people they know and trust and perhaps are family members?
We don't have specific statistics related to that, but we often find throughout speaking to the seniors that what we're dealing with at the Attorney General's office generally is going to be a stranger type of scam as opposed to that committed by family members. With that said, we also see a fair amount of family member or caregiver or, you know, what we might call a new best friend type of scam in which people who the victim does know, they do end up taking advantage of that person.
Yeah, actually, I think there's been at least one study that I'm aware of that says 55% of the financial exploitation against older adults is by someone they know, a family member or a caregiver. And it's the most tragic because this is someone that the senior has come to trust.
Lori, can we fully know how much this is impacting seniors, though? I mean, I would imagine there's some reluctance on their part to report a lot of this kind of thing.
It's way underreported. There have been some studies that estimate the annual cost of seniors at $2.9 billion. And one out of every five persons 65 older and older has been exploited. But yes, as Mark said, they're afraid to report for some of the reasons that Chris pointed out, but also they think they're embarrassed. It's shameful. They're afraid that if their loved ones know that they might say, well, mom or dad, you really can't live independently anymore. We need to get you into a nursing home. And so there is a fear there. They also, if there's an exploitation by a family member, sometimes that can be done by a son or daughter who's in trouble, unemployed, going through hard times themselves, and the parent is reluctant under those circumstances to make an issue of it.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And Melissa, what do you think of the whole, what can we do to get seniors to be more open about reporting this kind of thing? I mean, does the Ohio Attorney General's office actually have any outreach to seniors in that respect?
We do. So we offer a number of outreach initiatives. We have everything from publications that seniors can request to presentations that they can request, where we'll make a trip down to Cincinnati or wherever they may be located and talk to groups about the red flags to look out for. The other thing to remember is, you know, people are falling for scams. And, you know, we do our best at the Attorney General's office to make sure that doesn't happen. But when it does, they shouldn't be afraid to reach out to us. You know, it is something that some people are embarrassed about. They don't want to admit. But we may be able to help you through our informal dispute resolution process, in which we would work to get your money back if that's a possibility. And the other thing is, knowing what scams are going on out there helps us to be able to better educate other people. Because if we don't know of a particular scam, it's hard for us to educate on that. So I would always encourage anyone who has encountered a scam, whether they've lost money or not, to contact our office.
And I think another important element is if you feel like you've been victimized, to don't be embarrassed by it, because this is nothing new. You're not the first person to fall for something. I'm holding in my hands a book, Amo, Amas, Amat, and More, How to Use Latin to Your Advantage.
So, okay, my Latin's not any good, Chris, so help me with this.
Way back in the time of the ancient of the Romans, a phrase, Latin for there's a sucker born every minute, is called mundus vult decipi, which means the world wants to be deceived. And cynically, the tail end of that is et decipiator, and let it be deceived. So if you feel like you've been scammed, don't feel like you're the first. It's been going on for thousands of years. So don't be embarrassed, but get help.
Yeah, I think Chris is right. I mean, they prey on some of the vulnerabilities that the seniors have, in particular audience, but also scammers have become very sophisticated and sophisticated online as well. We haven't talked much about that, about internet scam, but they know that there's a spark of hope in every human being, even though our common sense tells us otherwise, and they know how to play that.
Lori, how has the internet changed this whole thing?
Well, it's much easier to get information and to exploit it. And also for seniors, they are increasingly on the internet, but they may not be as savvy as younger people about cybersecurity. They may not have set up all the security systems. They may not recognize phishing expeditions and other common scams. Yeah. And if you're not really in tune with that, it's easy to fall prey.
Yeah, with phishing with the PH.
Yes,
so if you
exactly.
You get an email from a trusted source, your financial institution, and it looks legitimate.
The bank says we need you to send us certain
call
information.
Right. Or the utility company calls you and says, or the IRS or Social Security calls you or emails you, and they it looks real. They're good at making stuff look real.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then the senior may not know that you just never click on a link within an email like that. Just never do it. And they may not know that.
And the whole idea of phishing is to get your personal information. That's
exactly.
Yeah.
That
okay.
One or two key things is all they need, and they're off and running.
Again, 513-419-7100 to join the conversation. And Melissa, is there a higher level of penalty when somebody is convicted of scamming a senior citizen? Is there a tougher level of penalty? And if not, should there be?
So at a criminal level, there is. Generally, what we see is something called theft by deception, in which people are taking money by deceiving the individual as to why they're giving the money. And with something like that, there are enhanced penalties when that occurs and the victim's a senior.
I think it's very, very hard to catch scammers, is it not? I mean, they typically, you know, if they're...
They're operating in the shadows a lot of times.
They're operating in the shadows, and the family members may be a different matter. But then again, it can be difficult for the senior to press charges. That's why it's often good, especially in the cases of elder abuse by a family member, for a third party. And I know Chris and I were talking a little bit before the show started about bankers that are now required to raise a red flag when they see suspicious activity going on with a person's bank account. They see this. They can tell that there's a high level of withdrawals that's not normal. And they are required now to ask some questions about that.
They've actually gone to ground zero, as the CNN article said, for this Jamaican phone scam, was Montego Bay. And authorities are actually going down there and rounding these people up. And some of them are in jail, but it's tough to do.
Apparently, I think Jamaica is ground zero for heavy-duty scams. There's a ton of them from Jamaica.
Scamming in general or scamming aimed at seniors?
In general, I believe. But again, seniors are, you know, as Melissa said, everybody gets scammed. But seniors, for one thing, there's more of them. And they're more vulnerable, and they have benefits, and they have a nest egg. So that's one of the reasons why they're targeted.
Yeah, beware of the 876 area code.
Is that from Jamaica?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We will continue our conversation about investment scams aimed at seniors and how to avoid them. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. We're looking at some of the common investment scams targeting seniors with Council on Aging of Southwestern Ohio Vice President of Communications Lori Petrie, Director of Consumer Education with the Office of the Ohio Attorney General Melissa Smith, and Krista Simeo, a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Cincinnati. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Again, the phone number, 513-419-7100. And let's talk with Debbie in Sims Township. Hi, Debbie.
Hi there. I just wanted to call. My 85-year-old father was a victim of a scam. He had a Microsoft pop-up window appear on his computer, and he ended up paying them $300 because they said he had a virus on his computer. But the point I wanted to add is we had his computer searched within 12 hours of him giving out his information, and he had 18 different viruses running in the background, including one that was recording every keystroke he made so that they could access all of his passwords into all of his financial institutions.
Wow.
So
that's really frightening.
Every computer checked. It was. And we ended up having to take his computer and wipe it, and he had to go get all new passwords for everything.
And you say this started with what appeared to be a Microsoft pop-up window, and he just happened to click on it. Is that what happened?
Correct. And the window said that there was a virus running in the background on his computer, and that if they wanted, you know, to click on this link, and then ultimately he was connected via phone, they said, pay us $300 and we'll run a virus check.
You know, you might have, and I have heard that that pop-up screen is a new scam that is happening a lot. And, of course, seniors fall prey because it'll say, make your computer more secure, you've got a virus, and so on. You might want to look at, you know, how is there some kind of online behavior that your father's engaging in or any other senior that would cause him to be so infected? So, for example, people who go to certain websites, people who enter sweepstakes and contests a lot. I'm not saying that's your dad, but if it's people who do, their name, that gets out there.
If you're surfing a lot of different places,
entering a lot of sweepstakes, which seniors tend to do, your name can get sold to, and your information gets sold to unscrupulous people.
And isn't it a good idea when you're hanging 10 on the World Wide Web to like disable cookies, if at all possible, to make it harder for people to follow you around?
Right. It is. That's a kind of a pain, but it is a security feature.
Melissa, what's your advice on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think the bigger picture to keep in mind is just what we have termed the Microsoft scam, what all it entails, because the caller has talked about one different way in which it happens, in which a number of viruses are released onto a computer through a pop-up. Another way that we commonly see is someone calling and saying, I'm calling from Microsoft. You have a virus on your computer.
I actually got that call. Yeah.
Right. They ask for remote access into your computer.
Oh, geez.
And once you've granted that, you're basically giving your computer, including any sensitive files that may be on there, to the scammer. So, you know, like the caller said, I believe it was $300 that her father had paid. But bigger picture, what we can see is, if they have access to your passwords for banking, like she said, there was a keystroke security feature on there, or if you're just allowing them straight access, they can go in, they can see what documents you have on your computer, and that's going to be the bigger goldmine for them, is finding that personal information with your maybe credit card numbers, your social security numbers, your passwords, things like that. So if ever anyone contacts you about your computer via phone, that probably is a red flag. And just with computers in general, we never want to click on anything that we're uncertain what it is. If something is that important, go ahead and just you type it into the computer yourself and see where it takes you.
513-419-7100 to join us, and let's talk with Stephanie in South Lebanon. Hi, Stephanie. Stephanie, are you with us? Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Stephanie. You're on.
Hi. I was calling because I had read an article in Door and Access magazine about a garage door company that operates here locally as well, that they are actually overcharging elderly customers and that they have been reported to elderly abuse multiple times.
Lawyer Melissa, any knowledge on that?
Yeah, I think that really anybody, one of the big crimes and scams against everybody, but also older adults, is home repair, home remodeling. And so I would encourage, first of all, I'm not saying it happened in this situation, never pay up front for services, only pay for services rendered. And I would say you go find the companies and do, if you're having work done in your home, repairs, check them out with the Better Business Bureau. They are all about frauds and scams. They know which companies have a red flag and alert on them. And it's a very good piece of homework to do before you employ anybody.
Yeah, and the Attorney General's office also offers a feature on our website in which you can see if somebody has filed complaints against a certain company with our office. So obviously it should be a red flag in your mind if you search the company and there are, you know, 20 complaints on file. That should definitely raise some flags.
Okay, thank you very much for the phone call, Stephanie. And, you know, one of the, with door-to-door home repairs. Mm-hmm. One of the things I always hear is, hey, we just happen to be in your neighborhood. We have some material left over, and we can sell it to you cheaper. Would you like us to do this work on your house? And I think that's another red flag, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a big red flag. I mean, it's always, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, or if there's something a bit odd about it, act on your instincts and what you learned in kindergarten and don't do it.
Melissa, is intuition a good defense against scams like this? Is that gut feeling something we should follow?
It is. And, you know, sometimes the funny thing about a gut feeling is you're a little bit afraid to express what it may have been right at first. But with something like the situation which you were describing, where someone comes to you at your home and they're soliciting you at your home, you actually have three days under Ohio law to cancel that transaction, so long as it's made at your home. So let's say somebody comes up to you and you realize, oh, this doesn't feel right, but you signed the contract anyway. You still have 3 days to cancel that contract. Don't let them start to do the work during that time period. They're actually prohibited by law from doing that. And just keep in mind, if your gut's telling you that day it's wrong, if your gut's telling you the next day it's wrong, trust your gut and cancel the contract.
Good advice.
Yeah, that law is really a good thing to know. And I think in general, if someone's approaching you, whether a phone call, at your door, an email, that's when my red flag goes up. I want to only engage in those transactions that I initiate.
Yeah.
Even if it's a legitimate charity, if it's one you're already donating to or doing business with, that's one thing.
It's a magazine subscription kind of thing, too, where who doesn't like magazines and who doesn't want to help the little kid out who's knocking on the door? But ended up, my dad is 85 years old. He was 85. He got a subscription paid in advance 2 years of biking magazine. You know, again, he didn't order it, honest, but they got his credit card and he had to pay for it.
Yeah. We're talking with Council on Aging of Southwestern Ohio Vice President of Communications Lori Petrie, Director of Consumer Education with the Office of the Ohio Attorney General Melissa Smith, and Krista Simeo, a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Cincinnati. Thanks to Edward Freeman for listening to 91.7 WVXU today. And let's talk with Mark in Montgomery. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, thank you.
You know, I'm a senior, and I don't like to admit it, but I am. And I have a landline, and I keep getting phone calls from companies that are real companies. Like I got a couple of weeks ago a phone call from a credit card company that said that they issued me a new credit card with a chip in it. And they left their number for me to call. And, of course, I never heard of this company before, this bank.
You'd never done business with them before?
Never done business with them.
Okay.
They were in Colorado. And I called my local bank here, who has my credit card, and they said they don't have anything to do with this company. And this company was a fraud division of this bank in Colorado, and they said, if you never received your card, call us because there's some fraud involved here.
Oh, boy.
And so I never heard of this bank. I never called them. But they
never asked for the card, never any, okay.
Never saw a card, nothing, but they wanted me to call this 800 number and give, you know, and check and see where my card was.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's, you know, that's a, That's a scammer taking advantage of something that's been in the news.
Again, it looks legit.
It looks they know that people are that new credit cards with chips are being issued, and so they're going to take advantage of that. Again, you know, anything that's calling you and that you didn't initiate, I'd be suspicious of.
Mark, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate it. Let's talk with Jeanette in Westchester. Hi, Jeanette.
Hello. My comment is that a lot of seniors have landlines, and I'm a senior. I have a landline, and I also have caller ID, and I think that that is money very well spent.
It's a great tool, isn't it?
Well, it is and it isn't. Maybe Melissa can speak to this, but scammers now have a piece of software that they use that can override your caller ID. It can make it look as if it's a number that you know or that it's a legitimate number. So I hate to say, I mean, it is a tool, but it has its limitations, your caller ID. Scammers have figured out how to get around it.
Personally, I found it to be quite helpful. And I mean, I use it quite often to screen my calls. If I don't recognize the number, even if I do, I won't answer.
Well, so. My husband is a senior, and he insists on keeping a landline in our home. I no longer answer it. I simply don't answer it. And he has started to not answer it as well. We'll wait for the message, and if we know, the person will pick up. But because it's become a more nuisance than a convenience, frankly.
Yeah, and I do have to agree that, you know, caller ID is a wonderful tool. I know I'm a huge fan of it. But there is this what we call spoofing software. And where we see that used a lot is just to gain some sort of trust. So, for instance, we've seen a huge increase in the IRS scam in which somebody pretends to be from the IRS saying that you owe back taxes, please pay them immediately. But what they've done is they've gone one step further and they changed the number on caller ID to appear as though it's originating from Washington, D.C., which is the logical place to think a call like that would be coming from when really it might be coming from, you know, even out of the country. So caller ID is a great tool, but she's definitely right that there are limitations and you can't always trust caller ID.
Yeah, I think as we're nearly out of time, but the important thing that we've found over the years is that if you have a question, as Lori said and as Melissa said, ask someone you trust. If you're working with a financial advisor, ask them, is this legit? If you have an adult child or a friend or a relative who's been helping you, don't be afraid or ashamed to ask. There's no question that is unaskable when you're talking about something as personal as your money.
Yeah, and I think that is a good key to a scam. If someone's giving you a time-limited offer, meaning they hope you won't check with anybody in on this, we're going to make you make a quick decision, that is a good red flag.
Melissa, any advice you want to offer to wrap things up?
Just remember to ask questions. Don't be embarrassed. Feel free to visit our website or to call our office if you ever need anything. Like I said, we have great educational tools, and unfortunately, those scammers are out there. So sometimes the best thing that you can have is a good defense against these scams, and you get that good defense by arming yourself with knowledge.
Well, Lori, Melissa, and Chris, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Good to see all of you.
Thank you.
Council on Aging of Southwestern Ohio Vice President of Communications Lori Petrie, Director of Consumer Education with the Office of the Ohio Attorney General Melissa Smith, and Chris DeSimio, a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Cincinnati. And as a reminder, the information provided on this show is general in nature and may not apply to your personal investment situation. Coming up, we'll hear about a campaign to raise awareness for Keep Cincinnati Beautiful. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.